It says joy is higher on the scale. Oh yeah, it is, right? So the only way you can escape joy, beyond joy is ecstasy. And here is an ecstatic state. I understood what Ramakrishna went into. Ramakrishna described the exact state, and he would go into ecstatic states. So the ecstatic is beyond joy. Ecstatic, under recalibrated. Let's see where ecstatic can be recalibrated. Ecstatic. Ecstatic spiritual ecstasy is beyond 540, 560, 580, 585, 590, 590. Spiritual ecstasy is exquisite. And then just beyond that, as I said earlier in the lecture, just beyond that ecstatic state, if you surrender the ecstasy to God, then the infinite peace of God comes. That is beyond all. However, I wouldn't miss the joy and the ecstasy on the way. It's rather profound. It gives you a certain... You see, the other thing that happens in certain states is you get to know who else is there, or who else has been there, you might say. You get to experience the presence of a rarefied strata, and those who've been there, how can we say it? It's outside of time. It's like they're still there. It's like a shared experience because you've transcended temporality. So, to go into the same state as Christ went into, or Ramakrishna, or any of the great saints, it's like you share the experience with them. It's hard to explain, but there's a commonality of experience in which your consciousness and their consciousness are actually one and the same. In that state, one experiences Ramakrishna's ecstasy because his ecstasy and yours are not different. It's all the same. And there's a point I call the high pass where you get hit by the luciferic temptation and all power is yours. Now that you're beyond karma, now that you're beyond, you don't have to answer to anything or anyone, now that you realize there's no adversarial God who will punish you for anything, and now that you're beyond personal karma, all power is yours. Own it. All power is yours. And in that state, you saw exactly who went through and what they said. It's a very high test, and it's very subtly expressed by the luciferic energy out of which it arises. And you realize that Jesus Christ said no to it. And you see who else said no to it. Because the falsehood is, yes, you're beyond personal karma. I mean, this presentation is not verbalized. It's a knowingness. It's a knowingness. And this knowingness comes as a profound temptation. And what am I going to say about it? Oh, yes. The error is, yes, you're beyond personal karma. But you're not beyond the karma of the infinite presence of God, whose context is inclusive of all that exists. You're beyond your personal karma, but you're not beyond the karma of God being the infinite context out of which all arises. So you're not beyond the karmic realm of God. You're beyond personal karma, but you're not beyond the karma of the universe. So, if you make that mistake, you end up along with Lucifer and his club there, Lucifer Club. I already answered the next question. It says, as you begin reaching higher states, you become more favorable game for the lower astral. You become juicier and a nicer plum to haul home. So, you see a lot of gurus that write books that are quite well known. they're still, everybody lights candles to them and all, and they were in the 500s when they wrote it, but they have gone way down since. What do the astral beings get out of that? They get pulling that which they hate and that which is out of which they are jealous back down. So it's like crabs. They say when you put a bunch of crabs in a pail, as one crab starts to get out, the other crabs will pull them back down into the pail. It's for the same reason that anybody who's successful, rich, powerful, etc., becomes a fair target. It's discrimination is politically incorrect unless you're successful, in which case discrimination and assault and attack and blackmail and everything else can be thrown at you because you're rich and powerful, right? Same laws don't apply now. So it would be out of jealousy. So it's jealousy and hatred. That's the motivation here is jealousy and hatred is this. Yeah. It's jealousy and hatred. See, don't forget that the lower astral realm gains by the more evil they are, the more they rank. The game of dungeons and what is it? Something's in dungeons, huh? Yeah, doesn't Dragons and Dungeons pretty well delineate the lower astral? It's even got the correct esoteric terminology, the names for them. So, you know, you're a made guy when you murder somebody in front of a witness. Now you rank higher in the mafia, correct? You're just riffraff down there if you just rob banks and steal from honest people, steal cars and all. You're just punks. Now, you're nobody at all till you are witnessed. So somebody can attest to the fact they saw you murder somebody in cold blood. Now you've got rank. Huh? So it's the rank of badder and badder and badder. So the higher the captive you can pull in, he now becomes your servant and your vassal. So you gain power by proselytizing and pulling people into your ranks. I believe that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, resist. That's all it's about. It's just the gamemanship of who can be the most evil and therefore rank the highest. You know, history shows some profound examples we've seen on television. The Japanese, after the Japanese in Nanking, I think it was the Vietnamese. A soldier bayoneting the infant in the arms of its mother took on a new rank. The ultimate cruelty, hardness, the surrendering to the ultimate, and that's how you gain rank there in the lower astral. And when you get there, you find there's people that are far more wicked than you are, and you're not at the top, you're at the bottom, baby. The way we tell you what you got to do to get higher up the ranks. Oh boy, so you just don't want to go there. So the lower astral is to keep us from being focused on enlightenment, and they do represent the temptations of the satanic and the luciferic. Alright, so we answered those pretty well. And those are things we've also written about to make sure people comprehend it. Everybody talks, you know, there tends to be a goody-goodiness about spirituality sometimes that is a form of denial, because the spiritual aspirant is also a fair target for that which would like to bring it down. And I think every spiritual student should be forewarned. We're warned that that which is non-integrous will certainly seek to pull you out of the game. Certainly seek to pull you out of the game by one temptation or another.